But I can, to show you how good my memory is, Brother Earnhardt, I can remember the first gospel meeting that I held in 1960 in a tent meeting in Mount Washington, Kentucky. And I had an aunt that attended that meeting. And those of us who are older realize at that particular time, it was in the time of the heated discussions in regards to the work of the church and the churches becoming involved in providing recreation and entertainment. And I made some comment in the course of the lesson that the word fellowship had become so abused by some that every time they heard it, that they could smell the coffee and donuts. I had an aunt that was in the audience that night, and she was a member of one of those churches that I was talking about. And she came to me after services, and she was pretty upset. And she informed me that she would never set foot again inside a place where I was preaching. She kept her word for a number of years, but shortly before she died, she did change her mind on that. But she made this statement. She said, James, she said, I believe that if it takes coffee and donuts to save men's souls, then we ought to use coffee and donuts. And you know what I told her? I said, I agree with you 100%. And I still do. If it takes coffee and donuts to save men's souls, I don't know how much money you got in the treasury. But I would encourage you to take every dime of it and maybe even take out a second mortgage on the building and buy every donut and every cup of coffee that you could find in Warren County and start distributing it. But do you know what you would do if you did that? You'd have a lot of people full of coffee and donuts. If we're concerned about the salvation of the souls of men and women, we must use the only thing that will accomplish that. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It is the only means of salvation. Remember, Paul said to these brethren at Corinth, you received it, and by which also ye are saved, if you will continue to hold fast to it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And thus it needs to be emphasized as we preach that message, that this is the means by which an individual can be saved from their sins. Well, let us move on. Let us look at Acts 8 and verse 35. As we mentioned a moment ago, Philip, as he approaches the chariot, he hears this man reading from the Old Testament scriptures. We recognize it as we have available to us the Bible divided into chapters and verses, that he was reading what we know as the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And Philip asked him a very simple question. He said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I accept someone would show me? And that's when the Bible says that Philip began from that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We don't have recorded every word that was spoken by Philip on that particular occasion. But as we look at the outcome, and as we look at what the scriptures do tell us, we know part of what he had to say to the Ethiopian. First of all, he emphasized that this is the one of whom the prophets was talking about, because the Ethiopian had asked him a very simple question. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? And that's when the Bible says that he began from that same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is the one that the prophets spoke about, as emphasized here in these particular verses. Jesus, back in Matthew 5, made the statement that I came not to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And he goes on to say that not one jot or tittle, we would say that maybe not even the dotting of the I or the crossing of the T, not a jot or tittle would pass away until all have been fulfilled. Yes, Jesus Christ is the one that that the prophets spoke about. We can go all the way back to Abraham in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. God made that wonderful promise to Abraham that he was going to make of his seed a great nation. And he says, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We mentioned a moment ago about the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel to the Corinthians. No doubt he's preaching the same thing that Philip preached in regards to the gospel of Christ. And if you go over to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, we talked about this just briefly in one of our lessons yesterday, that Paul says that how about revelation? I wrote a foreign few words whereby when you read or you may perceive or understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which he says in other ages or generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And in verse 6, he tells us what it was that had been hidden in the mind of God. And it was the fulfillment of this promise that was made to Abraham long ago, to wit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of this body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And so when Philip emphasized that Jesus was the one that Isaiah talked about, no doubt he also emphasized that he was the one that was promised when the promise was made to Abraham so long ago. And that point is made in many, many different places in the New Testament. But we got one more passage that we want to look at. And that is in the fifth verse of the eighth chapter, where Philip had gone down to Samaria, and the Bible says that he preached the Christ unto them. What did he preach? It's interesting to note, as you go down just a little bit later on in that same chapter, in verse 12, says, when they believe Philip preaching the Christ. No, it doesn't say that. It says, when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So here, Luke tells us that when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. So I know then that in preaching the Christ, it involved the preaching of some things concerning the kingdom of God. No doubt he may have pointed out the prophecies in the Old Testament. There in Daniel 2, when Daniel is interpreting the image and the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And as he talks about the Babylonian king and saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. And then he talks about the breast of silver and then the thighs of brass and then the legs of iron and the feet, part of iron and part of clay. And as he is explaining this and has come down to that fourth kingdom, Daniel says in verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the Lord our God establish a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Isaiah had prophesied something similar to that in the second chapter of Isaiah there about what would come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord was going to go forth from Jerusalem. The mountain of the Lord's house was going to be established above the mountains. Tim, I remember your Uncle Robert is preaching the lesson on Isaiah 2. And he would draw, back then we had the whiteboards or the chalkboard. And he would draw four mountains on that board. And then he drew one that was above all of these. Mountains are the governments of men. And here was the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian and the Grecian. And the Roman, and all of these empires. But the Lord was going to establish a kingdom that would be above all of these. These would be brought down. In Ephesians 2, and verse 19. Well, let's back up there in Ephesians 2. As you back up in Ephesians 2, you have in this particular chapter one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, and you also have one of the most comforting and beautiful passages in all the Bible. Paul says concerning these Ephesians that there was a time that they were separate from Christ. They were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. There's your sad verse. But look at verse 13. It's followed with one of the most wonderful verses in all the Bible. But ye who once were afar off, Paul said, you are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And you skip on down to verse 19. So then, you're no more strangers and foreigners or sojourners. But what are you? You're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And Paul affirms there in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so when Philip preached Christ to these Samaritans, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and also concerning the name of Jesus Christ. What was it that he preached concerning the name of Jesus Christ? One would be in regards to his authority. When you talk about doing something in the name of someone, you're talking about doing something by the authority of that one. If you received a knock on your door and someone said, open in the name of the law, if that person's telling the truth, I would suggest you open that door. He has the authority to ask you to open that door. And so it is with Jesus Christ. He said, all authority have been given unto me in heaven and on earth. There in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Luke tells us in Acts 4 and verse 12, the apostles declared that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It gets back to that point that we made a moment ago in regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, there is recorded in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, not a way, but I am the way, the truth. And he goes on to say that no man can come unto the Father but by me. Men don't want to receive that. We see it even in our nation today. And going back many, many years ago, Brother Roy Cogdell came to Miami, Florida to hold a gospel meeting. And there was a radio station there in Miami at that particular time that had a call-in program where they would invite guests that had come into the city to speak and so forth to be on that program and receive calls. And Brother Cogdell on that particular program quoted this particular passage in regards to Jesus Christ, that he is the way and the only way. Brother Cogdell said immediately after that the switchboard lit up. People were calling in, very upset, most of them Jews, calling in and criticizing the radio station and criticizing Brother Cogdell for making such a narrow-minded, bigoted statement as that. Well, they can get upset all they want to, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus affirmed that he is the way. He's not a way. And we need to get back to preaching that today. People today are so afraid that they're going to be accused of being narrow-minded or bigoted. They don't want to declare what the Bible has to say. But I'm not ashamed to declare that Jesus Christ is the way and he is the truth. And thus we need to go to that word to find out about Jesus and what it means. Now, as we look at these particular examples that we've noted, The Apostle Paul, as he says to the Corinthians, I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What was involved in that? Preaching that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day. There's the hope that we have. He goes on in that 15th chapter to emphasize that that's the reason that we have the hope, is that He was victorious over death. And so can we be victorious over death. When Philip preached to Jesus, to the Ethiopian, that He is the very one that the Old Testament prophets had spoken of. He is the fulfillment of that promise that was made so long ago to Abraham, that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. When Philip preached to the Samaritans, and they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Question. What was the result of this preaching? Going back to Acts 18, when Paul goes into the city of Corinth, Luke tells us that many of the Corinthians hearing what? Well, Paul said, I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Did he lie about that? So when he goes into the city of Corinth and preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what was the result? Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. In Acts 8, and verse 35, when the Bible says that Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian, the Bible tells us as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the Ethiopian said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And here we have recorded that great confession where the Ethiopian declared that he believed that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible tells us that he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. The Spirit caught away Philip, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. During the time that I was preaching over at Scottsville, Kentucky, I had a discussion with a Methodist preacher and we were talking about this particular verse. And this Methodist preacher said, well, let me explain to you what happened. The Bible says this was a desert place. And so as they were riding along the way and Philip was preaching to him, the Ethiopian reached under the seat of the chariot and pulled out the canteen of water and said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I said, okay, if that's the way you want it. But I said, you just make that canteen large enough for both Philip and the eunuch to go down into and for him to baptize him, because that's what the Bible says. The fact that the Bible says that this place was desert isn't what we think of as a desert. The idea is being deserted, uninhabited. There could have been a lot of water along the way. And I know there was some because it said they came to the water. And he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? But you see, the result of Philip preaching to the Ethiopian was the same result as Paul preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the Corinthians. When they heard this, they believed and were baptized. Well, you've already got ahead of me. Same was true in regards to Philip preaching to the Samaritans. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Isn't it interesting that in all the examples that we read about in the Bible of Christ being preached, the result was the same, that when people believed that preaching, and when they were receptive to that preaching, they were baptized. Sadly, today, what some call preaching Jesus results in the very opposite. What some call preaching Jesus today, instead of causing them to say, what doth hinder me to be baptized, it causes them to say, why should I be? Or I don't need to be. And so I know then that what men are calling preaching Jesus is not what the Bible calls preaching Jesus. When we go back to the second chapter of the book of Acts, we have recorded the gospel being preached, in fact, for the first time. And here we have Peter doing the same thing that Philip did and that Paul did. He goes back and shows that this Jesus that they had crucified, he's the one that David talked about. He's the one that's now sitting upon the throne of David. And so the Bible says that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. What had they heard? Peter had concluded his sermon by saying, "Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And they believed that. And they said, "What shall we do?" If there was ever an opportunity for a man guided by the Holy Spirit to tell people what people today are being told, this would have been the opportune time. What shall we do? Well, you've already done it. Jesus has already done everything for you. If you just believe that, then you'll be saved. What a wonderful opportunity. If that's what is the truth, and that's what's being taught today. But you know and I know that that's not the answer that Peter gave. When they said, "What shall we do?" Then to Peter and the other apostles, Peter said, "Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Down in verse 41, Luke tells us that those that gladly received his word were baptized. Many of you remember the days when Brother Weldon Warnick was preaching here in Bowling Green. I'll never forget every time he would quote that passage. He said, "Those that gladly," not madly, but "those that gladly received his word were baptized." What about you? Would you be like those individuals and gladly receive the message that Peter proclaimed, that Philip proclaimed, that Paul proclaimed? Ask that same question that these individuals did. What must I do? Yes, you must hear Jesus proclaimed. You must hear that message, that gospel, as Paul defines it in 1 Corinthians 15. He said he'd preached Jesus Christ and him crucified, but then in chapter 15 he says, "The gospel that I preach to you." So you need to hear that. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Then you need to do what he tells you to do. Jesus asked a very simple question when he was here on earth. "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ that we've talked about tonight, then you'll do what he says. Repent of your sins. Have the courage to do as that Ethiopian did and confess that faith that you have in him as the Son of God. And if you're ready to do that, then we're ready to assist you in your obedience and baptizing you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. When people today believe the preaching of Jesus, the result will be the same as it was in New Testament times. They'll believe and obey and be baptized for the remission of their sins. If you haven't done that, you'll never have a better opportunity than right now. If you've once done that, maybe for whatever reason you've gone astray and you haven't been faithful in your service to the Lord, you need to repent of that. You need to pray to God for forgiveness. If you need to obey His will in any way, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing the song that has been announced.